Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Taking a break from painting tonight because, frankly, my arm's about to fall off. I've been working on this ginormous painting all day long today, and oh my gosh, I don't know what I was thinking. It's pretty detailed and intense, a giant landscape. Sometimes I wonder about the things I get myself into, but no, it's good. But it is nice to have a break, and I'm very, very excited tonight because we've got a fantastic guest, just a electropop singer, songwriter, musician, composer, just a all-around cool guy, Mr. Simon XO. Simon, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm a big fan. I love your music that I've heard so far. It's you paint with sound. It's cool, man.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot.
No, it's absolutely true. It is amazing. No, I'm looking at my show notes before the show. I did not realize this. You're originally from San Diego. You're in L.A. now. I used to live in San Diego myself. Which part of the old haunt there did you cut your teeth?
Well, I grew up until I was about 6 or 7. I grew up in University, so just east of
nice.
La Jolla, and then I moved out to Scripps Ranch near Poway.
Oh, very nice. Very, very nice. When I first moved out there, I got this this was a crazy story. It didn't matter. But I got this old Jag, and I had moved from Boston where I went to college, and I moved out there, and I just thought I was the coolest person because I would love to take it on those roads out there, where you were at.
Yeah.
Because just the mountain twists and turns, fun to drive. Fun to drive. Nice
yeah,
area.
Yeah, that's
I like
definitely
that
a huge place of relief in the high school times when I got my license. That was definitely a really cool place to just drive around and definitely.
Oh, yeah. And check it out.
Last
and you know the weird thing is
drive around. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And you'll be driving, and if you were like me, which I imagine you were, because it's just so nice out there when you're driving, you kind of lose track, and you're like, I'm halfway to Vegas now. How did that happen? This is just, now I got to go back. It suddenly turns from mountains to desert, and I was like, I'm too far away. I got to go back. crazy times, man, crazy times. So you finished up in that area, and you said, I got it. Were you always a musician? Were you always doing the music thing?
Yeah, I was. I kind of bounced around in terms of what I was doing in music. When I first left San Diego, I was mostly a trombone player. And over the times that I've been in L.A., I've sort of transitioned away from that and into production and songwriting and this whole thing that I've found myself doing.
It didn't surprise me because one of the – well, the trombone kind of does. I didn't see that coming. But one of the things, focusing on production and whatnot, is your music – and we're going to play – you've got a double single that was just released. It's released, I believe. It's out,
yep.
I think. Awesome. And folks will let you know how to get these singles too because you're going to want it. They're out of sight, man. But they're really full. You know what I mean? They're really
totally.
It's big sound, and
thanks so much.
The first time I listened to these, I'm like, man, this cat knows what he's doing. This is not, recorded in a garage or something. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's not. But you can definitely tell when somebody
–
oh, go ahead.
Most of it was actually recorded in a bedroom, so you weren't too far off.
Really?
But I did spend tireless hours trying to make it not sound like it was in a bedroom. So I guess that makes sense.
I hear you. I'm telling you, I'm actually in a converted garage right now. I can't be too on my high horse here. Yeah, it's
exactly
crazy. Well, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you gotta have it. I have always found, and I've been doing. I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. And mm-hmm. you know, even when I've lived in studio apartments, there's been a few of those. Fortunately, that's kind of
yep.
behind me. I think. I hope. But you have to have your corner to work in. You know, you have to have your work area. And
yeah, totally.
I find that very important. I've lived in places where I didn't have that, and it's just it's hard to get in that zone. I think, you know, for me at least.
Absolutely.
For some people,
no, absolutely.
Sure can. Yeah, you know,
no,
I mean,
I
see cats on the street.
Over the summer,
I'm like, how the hell are they doing that?
Yeah, over the summer, it was the first time in years that it was just like a sublet as I was kind of in between places, and I didn't have my studio, all my gear and stuff in a place that was like just mine. So I was kind of out of a creative space for a couple months, and it kind of drove me nuts. I wasn't really expecting it, but all you know, you're totally right. Once you have that creative kind of sanctuary, if you lose it, you kind of, you know, you realize how necessary it is for your creativity, but also
absolutely.
Like your well-being, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. Me and my my girlfriend Danny, actually, we were talking about this just a couple hours ago. We had to go to the grocery store, you know, all this pedestrian stuff that we have to do. But we were talking, and it's interesting. We were talking about going on vacation. We go on vacation a couple times a year, but I can't go more than like a week because if I'm not doing painting, and she had pointed this out. She goes, you know, you're just not real fun to be around if you're not painting for. You know, after a week, she was about 7 days is what you can handle. Then you're just a big grouch. You're not fun to be around.
That's
you know,
really funny. That's really, really funny. Yeah, I mean,
I had
sense.
Never known. I'm glad she told me. Yeah, it's like it's built up. It's
yeah,
crazy.
I know exactly what you mean. That's totally true.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't want to sound like, oh, we're artists. We're so artsy. But, you know, we are a little different, and that explains some down periods I've probably had in my life. You know, get to work, kid.
Absolutely.
What are you doing? So I was reading my show notes, Simon, and it says you've been in you were in a couple bands doing this and that. And like you said, you were kind of exploring and touching different branches. You know.
Yep.
And then you moved up to LA and you got into it. Was this single? Now you've got an EP. That's going to be released sometime this year, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Nice, nice. And these singles that we're going to be playing tonight, these were kind of like to judge fan response and kind of show people what you were doing and direction and whatnot.
Yeah, totally. I was in a couple of bands, but the last couple of years I was in a main band and they broke up about a year ago. And so I started working on these new songs that were very different. The band was pretty rock, and obviously these songs are not very rock. And I was kind of just exploring what my songs sound like if they're not in that sort of generic rock context. And I think these two songs that I released first, I think they felt like they were a good intro paragraph to how all the other songs sound. How the, you know, kind of like a, even if it's only for me or for, you know, whatever, like an introduction for myself is in terms of like, this is what the new sound for me is and the new direction that I'm going to go as this independent artist. So that was definitely, that was part of the reason. And obviously the other part was because, you know, the EP is coming out and I want to, you know, show people what the new EP is going to sound like and all that type of stuff. So definitely.
Smart. It's a smart way to do it, man. It's well, they're out of sight singles. I really dig it. And you know, when I listen to both of them, I'm like, I gotta hear more. I gotta hear more. So you know, now that we're friends, Simon, I'll be calling you every day or emailing you saying, come on, man. Gotta get over that hill. I'm jonesing for more. I'm telling you, man, it's really good. I am a big, I'm an old man now, but I grew up listening to electronic music and, you know, spent a couple decades, you know, haunting nightclubs and whatnot. And that was kind of my scene, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember trance when it was techno. I remember trance when it was new wave. Let's not kid anybody. But I've always had an affinity for good electronic music. I think I enjoy all kinds of music, but I've always had a special place for that scene. And it's the problem is when you've lived as long as I have, it's hard to hear new stuff because you're like, oh, well, that reminds me of this or that reminds me of that. Your stuff is very fresh and it's very new, and that excites me because it's
Thank you so much.
A rare thing, you know, and it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And I think it's interesting, too, that you released a double single. I hadn't seen that done a lot, you know. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. There was a logistical side that I had kind of had an issue with a distributor, and I was trying to change distributors, so it kind of had made more sense to kind of release them both at the same time. But I think it ended up being a cool thing because they feel, at least sonically, they kind of feel like yin and yang to each other. Waiting for Me to Break is a little bit darker, and How Do I Fight It is a little bit brighter and happier. And I think that it was kind of cool to say that, you know, the sounds and the sort of like landscape is what the new sound is going to be, not like this dark brooding thing or this like poppy, you know, bubblegummy type thing. It's sort of like, you know, like it can go in either direction, but the sounds and the sort of vastness is what I was trying to emphasize. And I think doing both of them at the same time was a really good way of expressing that.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. Stellar and out of sight. Let's play. Let's play a track. I've got them both queued up. What should we play first? Do you think? How Do I Fight It or Waiting for Me to Break?
Oh boy. Let's do Waiting for Me to Break. Let's do that one.
Absolutely. Here it is, folks. Simon XO. Check this out. I think you're really going to dig it. I do. was, folks, Waiting for Me to Break, Simon XO. What a track. I dig that track a lot, Simon. Good
thank
stuff.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now,
means a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The confidence of the Lexus GX's full-time four-wheel drive. The power of its remarkable towing capacity. And you. Speechless after experiencing it all. During the Lexus Command Performance Sales Event, experience the sounds of versatility now with extraordinary offers on our most elevated SUVs, including the RX, LX, NX, and capable GX. Now through April 2nd, see your South Florida Lexus dealer.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
I have to ask, and I hate the question, but it's important, especially with musicians. And I think, you know, speaking, as an artist, and I know the audience wants to know, do you have a set, oh man, I hate this question. Do you have a set way you go about creating a song, or is it different every time? Like the process, I guess.
You had a really big buildup. I thought it was going to be a harsher question, I don't even know what anyway, that's a great question. It definitely varies. I especially with these set of songs that I'm in the middle of releasing now, I think that I spent a lot of years sort of learning the craft of songwriting and the craft of production, mm-hmm. and stuff, and I'm always learning, and it's not like these is like, oh, well, I'm done learning those things now. Yeah, obviously, your whole life you're learning those things. But I feel like I'm at a place now where I can really kind of focus on concepts, and I can kind of focus on, more broad stroke type of things. and I think that because that's true, all the songs that are coming out kind of came to me in a wave, and that wave was just sort of like a wash of creativity that kind of like, showed itself in a lot of different ways, that I kind of had like a general concept that I was feeling a lot and thinking a lot about, you know, whether, you know, I was going through a breakup, I was going through a band breakup, and I was kind of in the middle of, you know, thinking what's important to me and why I put myself in emotionally in situations that are harmful, you know, and all those types of things. And so that combined with trying to come up with these new sounds, you know, it would be like I'd be working on 5 songs at once, all in different capacities in the, at the same time,
right.
You know? So like there was a song that was like, you know, Waiting for Me to Break came in just on guitar. And I was just, I wrote, you know, I had this idea of like, don't you know, I'm angry. Don't you, you know, and that mm-hmm. started coming. And then later the same day, How Do I Fight It? Which we'll hear in a little bit. It was like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to play guitar right now, but I'm still in that mood of like wanting to write in this concept. And so I started like playing around with a synth and came up with this, like, the synth sound thing that became the inspiration for How Do I Fight It. And so, yeah, it happens in a lot of different ways, but I think that it all kind of comes from a similar, grander vision for the set of songs that I was writing, if that makes sense. It's almost
absolutely,
like there's a
yeah.
bunch of like a bunch of tools to like kickstart what's just under the surface of what I want to talk about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you were saying that, you know, you have, it's nice to be in a place of knowing that you have these tools available to help get what you're trying to do across. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And to know how to use that, I shouldn't say tool, skill set, to know how to, you know, to make that happen effectively. And it's
totally.
That's a powerful place to be, man. Because if you're anything like me, man, there was a time when you didn't. You're like, well, I'm just going to try to paint this thing, and hopefully people will dig it. You know, it's
yeah, totally.
Now that you've been,
totally.
I've been doing it a little bit, I can go, oh, okay, I know how to go about this, and
right.
the easiest,
totally.
Quickest way. Now let me ask you this: when I'm working on a painting, everybody sees the end product. They see the finished piece and they're like, oh yeah, nothing was on TV. This cat just sat down and, you know, whipped this out. And that is very true on some, well, you know, maybe 1 out of 100. but a lot of times a painting, man, I'm ready to throw it in the street, burn it in the back fire pit. Just, you know, it's fighting me. And I step back for a minute, you know, and then I do a fresh attack after I kind of, you know, and a painting hasn't won yet. But people just see the end result, so they don't see all that. Now, with songwriting, is it the same type of deal? Do some come easy, some come hard, or is it pretty consistent?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I think and it's kind of interesting, at least the way that I make my music, you know, the line of production and songwriting are being blurred more and more every day for me. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not even just like, oh, I don't think this song is working. It's like, well, the song could be working, but like the vision that I had for how it's supposed to sound production-wise isn't working, or you know, these drum sounds aren't working for this, you know, and so it feels like there's a lot of opportunities for a song or a recording to like hit the chopping block, and it was mm-hmm. actually, you know, we probably should have played How Do I Fight It first, because all my stories about How I Fight It right now, but How Do I Fight It was exactly like that. I was done with most of these songs and I was about to cut How Do I Fight It. I was literally, it was, you know, a hair of a decision away from being put in the trash bin. And I kind of had like you said, I took a second and I came back to it and I heard what it was that I wasn't liking about it, you know, and it was just sort of the way
right.
that I had built the production. And I was like, oh, but I also hear why I've been working on it for so long and why, you know, it was literally months. I think it was one of the first
mm-hmm.
songs I started and it was literally the last song I finished. It was like, oh, okay, this is why I liked it. This is why I wanted to make this song and this is why it's not working. And, you know, that, yeah, so that process is definitely laboring and definitely different from song to song. And I think it's
right.
But I also think it's interesting what you were saying. I think a really cool point is that, for me, if I'm playing, like, if I'm getting towards the end of a piece or almost done with a recording and I play it for someone and, you know, they haven't heard the process that I've taken to get there, but if they say, oh, but that seems kind of weird, like, I don't really get the,
mm-hmm.
I have to be in a position where I'm explaining it to them, You know, like, oh, well, you know, I tried this, but it didn't work, so I'm trying that. It's like, okay, then that means that the final product isn't there yet, that it's not at the final product, that if the idea that
right.
I'm having isn't being, you know, like, communicated the way that I was trying to communicate it, then that means, you know, all the hard work doesn't matter. What matters is, like, is the final thing the best version of
bringing it out,
what it can, you know, exactly.
Right.
So that's really disheartening sometimes, because it means, you know, there's all this work that you know, at the end of the day doesn't matter.
Some more.
You know?
Right.
But
I have a comedian
a
who says the same thing to me. We were talking one day, and we were at a party, and I said some joke that just, and I'm not a comedian by any means. This particular cat is how he makes his money. You know, he knows that. You know, he knows his business, and he kind of took me aside, and he's like, Jamie, if you have to explain a joke, it ain't funny. You know, you're not. You ain't
right,
doing
right,
it,
totally.
Buddy.
Totally.
And I thought about
I that,
you know. And I'm like, God,
yeah.
He's right, you know, because it is. It's just, oh, yeah, I carved that one out. That's not good.
Right.
But, you know.
And
I think
it's interesting, too, because. Yeah, because the art forms like painting or music or comedy are like some of the more visceral art forms too, you know? So it's like, you know, in like a movie or a TV show or, you know, something like that, there's maybe more leeway for that because there's layers of dialogue and you know, like all that type of
all
stuff
right.
that kind of mm-hmm. help communicate a message. But I think with music or with painting or with, especially with comedy, like it's supposed to be an instant thing.
Right, it's
and
there.
And I think that there's something to be said for, like, you know, you shouldn't, like, make your music or art for, like, the most common denominator person. Like, you should do it for, like, what you're trying to make. But I also think that there's a fine
right.
line between that and, you know, needing to, like, work on your craft more or, like, get work on that particular piece to where it's actually communicating what you're feeling or thinking instead of just, you know, being too convoluted
absolutely.
Anyway.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring, it's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
And it's, you know, it's interesting because there's aspects of what we do, and you had mentioned this. Well, you know what? Well, let's talk about that. Let's play How Do I Fight It, because it's such a good track, and I want to. We're talking about it,
And I don't want to lose that momentum on that. But I do want to bring up, when we come back, some interesting things that you touched on that I find interesting and I want to know more about. But Andy, until then, ladies and gentlemen, this is Simon Exo, How Do I Fight It? Check this one out. This, again, really good track. Check it out. Simon XO, that's part of the double single release that's out and about, and I want to let people – Simon, that's a fantastic track, man. That's a really, really good track.
Thank you.
I really like that a lot. Now, I want to let people know before I forget, it's we have a link up to Simon's Facebook page there on social media, Simon XO Music. It's facebook.com/SimonXO Music. But we have a link in our show page, and if you're listening to the show in the future, the podcast of it, the link remains however you're listening to it. It's right there. So just click on that. And in addition to that, we also have the buy stream link, and it's Smart Earl. So what that means, for those who don't know, is you click on that, and then you can buy the music. How about that? It gives you the link to all the ways you can get it. Very important and very cool. Yeah. You know, Simon, it's amazing how many people, you know, they don't do that. They don't give any links to, and I think that's not very smart. You know, it's trying to sell MP3s and stuff. You know, put the word out.
I can definitely relate to it, you know, because I think, you know, where you create from is not exactly like a self-promotional thing, and it's kind of awkward and stuff, but but yeah. You know, it doesn't really help anything if if you don't do that.
Exactly. No, you touched on this, and this is what I was talking about before we played the track, How Do I Fight It? You had mentioned something about going through having some issues with the distributor and whatnot. Anyway, the fun, you know, joys of the business side of an artistic endeavor. A lot of people think artists and musicians just, you know, sit around and snap their fingers and drink coffee and smoke cigarettes and stuff, which, you know, some probably do. but there is a business side of it, and it's not the most conducive to all artists or musicians. You know, some people are terrible at it, and they get somebody that, if they're smart, that can handle it, that knows how to do that. Nothing wrong with that. Do you find switching that, you know, being an artist and then switching your hat to, I don't know, your button-down suspenders or whatnot, you know, switching over to the art, the business side of it, is that difficult for you? Or is it just part of the whole process?
Question. I'm good at it in the sense that when I have to be in the business mindset, I can be there. I think
nice.
where I'm not good at it is that it's hard for me to turn that off. You know, I'm a little bit of like a obsessive person. So once that's kind of rattling around in my brain, it's hard to get it out of there. And I think especially over the last couple of months, that's proved something that I'm really trying to get better at and learn is, you know, it's really like separating. I think I'm okay at both things. I think I think that it's hard for me to separate the two and make sure that the music is just creative and just, you know, what I want to say, as opposed to thinking about, you know, like all the businessy things. I think that's the difficult part for me, for sure.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting because especially I've never been in the music business, but I've grown everybody I know growing up seemed to either be they're in entertainment one way or another, you know, making movies or musicians or whatnot. And I think the reason I hung out with all these people is because they had really fantastic parties. You know, that's what I like to go to. No, I'm kidding, kind of. But the thing is you know, some people, they have a little bit of a problem with that. And it's hard for some people. I'm the exact opposite. I'm like you, Simon. You know, I'll look at a situation and my first thing is, you know, well, let me put it this way. I have hobbies for about 2 weeks and then I tend to turn that hobby into a business. You know, it's just how I'm built.
Yeah.
And that's not always a good thing in my particular game. You know, people want, they expect a painter to be a certain way and whatnot, you know, I have to get a new beret and, you know, drink wine and paint this painting, you know, and that's not always the case, man. I like living nice. But you have to do it, you know. You have to. I think so. You know, it's not about being better than anybody or anything like that. It's just about it's part of the game. If I want to make my living this, if I want to go get a job somewhere, like a 9-to-5 punch a clock type job, that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I can do my paintings in the evening. I'm just not that ambitious. I'm pretty lazy. So I kind of I find if I focus on too many things, I don't do them as well as if I'm just focused on one or two. You know what I mean?
Yep, totally.
But it seems like you've got this down, and everything's very, very together. You know, there's a process and a plan. I only see that, I think, because I'm the same. I do similar type stuff in that. I don't think the general public would get that impression from you or your music or whatnot. But it's good to have a plan, and it's good when it works, you know? It's nice.
I'm still trying to figure out that part, the how it works part, if it works part. But I totally get what you're saying,
I hear you. Well, yeah. You know, I think it's fantastic. Now, again, we have this smart girl up in, folks, for those, you know, if you grab a pencil at home, you can write this down real quick. smarterl.it/SimonXO. Very easy to get to. And that will get you to how do you want to purchase or stream. You're on Spotify too, right, Simon?
I am. Yep.
Spotify nice.
The way to go, yeah.
Well, and for those who don't know, we've been talking about this the last couple episodes. Somebody gave me this fantastic idea at a party. They're like, you should do a Spotify playlist on your website of all the people that are on the show. And I'm like, that's, why didn't I think of that 4 years ago? That's brilliant. So we have that. So yes, not only can you find Simon XO on Spotify, if you happen to be over at my website, you can listen to him right there too as well. Very, very cool. Yeah. I like, as a consumer, again, I know that there's been some musicians who don't dig what Spotify is doing, you know. As a consumer, I dig it.
Yeah.
But I'm not – I don't have a dog in that fight, though, really. You know what I mean?
Right.
As a creative content maker. But, this, you know, if you listen to Simon XO, ladies and gentlemen, just listen to the tracks 10,000 times each, and that'll help out, you know, this week. Then do
it'll
it 10,000 times
my,
on
– it'll get me a couple cents, and I'll be really happy. It'll be great.
Exactly. You can buy the big Starbucks. No, that's cool. That's cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out L'ApothecaryUnique.com. Spelled L'ApothecaryUnique.com. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Xfinity Mobile is a new kind of network designed to save you money while streaming your favorite music. Like that 90s jams playlist you've played 72 times today. It combines America's largest, most reliable 4G LTE with the most Wi-Fi hotspots. Get up to 5 lines of unlimited nationwide talk and text included with your Xfinity internet at no extra cost. All you pay for is data. Visit an Xfinity store or click now to see how much you can save with Xfinity Mobile. Restrictions apply. Requires Xfinity internet service. Equipment, taxes, fees, and other charges extra. Limited to 2 lines pending internet activation.
And the same thing, we have a link up to Simon's Facebook page. It's very important. People don't realize that, you know, when you're booking shows and this and that, you know, a lot of venues will say, well, how many likes do they have on Facebook? I mean, that's a very legitimate question that happens. It's just the way the business is now. So it's important to
absolutely.
Like and follow and all of that. Very, very cool. What do you think about social media and all? Well, Simon, you're a kid, though. You grew up with social media, didn't you?
Yeah, but I'm definitely part of the part of my generation that really hates social media. So it's I guess I'm a little bit of an outlier there. But I really, you know, it's a necessary evil nowadays. But I definitely it's definitely not my forte or not my favorite thing in the world for sure. I could rant about this all day, but there's definitely some things about social media that I think are really toxic, and I think that there's a lot of there's a lot of problems with, you know, everyone being glued to their phone all day, especially on stuff that is you know, where the algorithms are there to upset you so that you'll engage more. I think that's really a not
crazy.
A good thing for the entire population to be on all the time.
This is so weird.
Ranty or anything, but
we were, you know, earlier in the show we were talking about, and I had mentioned how my girlfriend said that if I don't paint every day, I get kind of grouchy. I'm telling you this, last year there was a conversation. This is very, my hand to God, very true. She sat me down and she said, "You got to give Facebook a break." She goes, I don't care about a senator from Alabama and what a jerk he, I mean, you're surprised at that, you know? But she goes, you get worked up and you rant and rave. She goes, I don't want to hear it. She goes, you know, I've been working all day. I come home. I don't want to hear about this. You know, it's just, I don't care. And yeah. You're caring way too much. And, you know, it was yep. interesting because I thought about that. And I'm like, God, I didn't see it, you know. And so I do updates in the morning on Facebook and this and that. And, you know, if it's a celebrity's birthday that I painted, I post it. But I can't – then I disengage. I'm like, I can't – that's enough of that. I don't want to
– Yeah.
I don't want to argue with people I don't know and be upset or, you know, any of that. I'm just like, ah.
Totally.
Instagram,
absolutely.
I can look at pretty pictures. I'm happy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think they're
definitely.
All right over there. But maybe it's just the people
yeah.
I follow. I don't know. But it's crazy.
Yeah,
it
well,
is crazy,
you know,
but you...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, it's part of the business. You know, we kind of are forced to do it. It's...
Yep.
It's a, you know,
I think the other thing that's really sad about it is that, you know, I think it's taking up a lot of the time that we would spend doing things that are better for our brains and bodies. You know, there's like all this little time that's being taken up, you know, that ends up being like an hour or two a day that we're looking at our phones instead of like reading a book or, you know, going for a run or something, you know, whatever we used to spend our time with in those little moments doing. I think that, you know, looking at our phones and reading social media posts is not like the best way for us to spend those little moments, you know?
Absolutely. I don't want to be an old man in the hospital going, oh, I'm glad I spent, I think, and people would be surprised. There's got to be an app or something you can put on your phone to tell you how much time you spend on social media. And
oh,
I think
yeah.
people would be
yeah.
like, 7 hours a day, what the hell is that? You know, I think people are very
right.
surprised. You know, and if there's not an app, we should make one called Intervention or something. I don't know. But I hear what you're saying, man. It's,
yep.
it's very true. There's $1 million idea for the day. crazy. But maybe not. Maybe people don't want to know, you know, it's just.
Right. Right. It's a tough
you've
thing.
You've got all of
it's definitely... knowledge
on your phone. Yeah. Yeah, you know, utilize
exactly.
it better, folks. You know?
Right, exactly.
It's,
totally.
And I know, and, you know, it's funny. I logged into Facebook earlier, and it has I use a computer, I don't use a phone, but it has a little thing on the side where it says trending and, you know, what the hot topics are and
yeah.
whatnot.
Totally.
And the big one that thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are commenting on, and, you know, they're just glued to their screens. Apparently Katy Perry dissed Taylor Swift last night on American Idol. You know, I'm like, really? This is the big thing that people who cares?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I'm
yep.
that depressing. Let's talk more about Simon XO's fantastic record. Any idea on the name of the EP, or is that still in the works? Still cooking on the stove.
The placeholder name for right now is called Covering, for the name
nice.
Of the EP. It's one of those names that I came up with when I was probably 14 or 15, and it feels
mm-hmm.
like it fits this EP so far, but I'm still not 100% decided on that. But yeah, maybe it's called maybe
that's
it'll
cool.
be called Covering. We'll find out.
No, that's, you heard it here first, folks. How cool is that? Very, very good. Now, I have to ask also, I know we're doing promo for the buildup of the EP release and whatnot. And these are heavy production heavy singles. That's why they sound so, you know, great. There's time spent on them and whatnot. Are you thinking about performing these live, or is that really hard with the level, the level production and whatnot involved?
I am thinking about playing live. I've got my first show actually here in LA on
nice.
Sunday on the 25th. Yeah. So
hell, there you go,
for,
man.
Yeah.
It's
that's
fantastic.
Been in the works for a couple months. Yeah, yeah. It might be surprising to hear if you've only heard you know, these two singles or you know anything like that. But I come from a place, you know, I grew up loving Neil Young and Bob Dylan and all these like sort of singer-songwritery people.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the, you know, the production on these new stuff, on this new stuff and on this, on my music is another side of what I really love. But I think that for me, playing live was always a big part of what I wanted to do. even if it doesn't sound exactly like what the record is, because I think that it's just another way of kind of like, viscerally expressing the same ideas, even if it's not with the same sounds necessarily, if that makes sense. Absolutely.
That's cool.
There's definitely a live component coming, and hopefully it'll really get underway in the next couple months. But the first show is on Sunday, which is great.
Well, break a leg on that. Where are you going to be playing at? Where do people need to go? Because we get a lot of LA listeners.
Everyone needs to flock to a hotel cafe at 10 p.m. on Sunday night.
Very, very cool. Well, there you go, folks. Very, very awesome. You mentioned your songwriting influence, and I'm the same. I love a good song. In that, there's some certain bands that I just, you know, when I think singer songwriter, I go to in my head. You're absolutely right. Dylan, Neil Young, Matt Johnson. There was an '80s band called Man, that guy could turn a phrase. And at least it resonated with me. And I'm not saying it'll resonate with everybody, but you are really good at your lyrics too, because I listen to the music and you've got this great full sound musically, and then your lyrics are very cool too. I've been there. You know, I hear it, what you're saying, and I'm like, oh yeah, I've been in that part to that party before. That's not always the and especially those particular parties where, you know, especially if you're younger, you go, oh, nobody's ever felt like this before. This has never happened. No, it has. And here's somebody that feels your pain, man. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, and it's not always a train. You're very good at that. You're very good at that. Oh, it's very true. It's very true. Do you have like a big book or I guess a big file on your phone of potential lyrics that you kind of come back to, or is it different?
That's a good question. No, I mean, sometimes I have a little notebook that I carry around with me everywhere when I have little ideas and stuff. But, lyrics are probably the hardest part for me, only because I'm really, really particular with lyrics.
And here, folks, things got a little strange tonight. We lost power to our street. All the houses, all the power went out for a little bit. But then it came back on, and we jumped back in. So sorry about the, skipping subjects and whatnot. But here it is. Here's the rest of the show. Enjoy. Hey, folks, before I forget, I would like to give a big shout-out to
The fine folks over at La Famas Marketing and PR. If you're in a creative project going and whatnot, and you need some help on the digital PR side of things, well, those folks are good people to have in your corner. So we have a link up to them as well. I don't know how that business works. Just, go wash Amanda's dogs or something, pick up her laundry, do whatever you got to do, man. But be friends with them.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're really, really great.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Simon only works with the best, man. There you go. That tells you something. Very, very cool. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this show, of course, will be, after it's converted to a podcast, it will be put out on all the various social media streams. While we'll even be on Pinterest, so you can learn about what to do with that old palette, that somebody's throwing out on trash night, make something cool with out of it, while listening to the podcast. It's amazing. And, of course, this will also be on iTunes or what are they calling it now, Apple Podcasts. If you are listening to the show on one of those in the future, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor, though. Doesn't cost you anything. Hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page, and it just drives people that don't like me insane. And that's a good thing. I'm kidding, kind of. Our advertisers really dig it. So, yeah, it keeps us up at the top, and, the view is always better from above. What can I say? Cool, cool, cool. Well, Simon, I can't wait to hear more, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. Keep doing
absolutely.
What you're doing,
thank
man.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, absolutely. Really
appreciate it. And break a leg this coming show, man. That's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. Can't wait to hear all about it.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Anytime.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Tomorrow, we've got a fantastic band called The Buds on. It's a little bit of an early show, 7 o'clock here on the East Coast, which will be 4 o'clock out on the West Coast there. Cool, cool band. So we will see you tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody, and I hope everything's cool and going well for you. Talk to you later. Good night, everybody. Night, Simon.
Night. Good talking to you.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.